Jesus loves him, but the rest of us think he's a putz. It's the Drew Marshall Show.
Up next on the show, I've been looking forward to this moment as well. Can I just say that today was one of my favorite shows? You know why?
Because Lily Tomlin was mentioned.
That could
You've
be
already
it.
Said that.
That could be it.
No, it's been a great show, dude. Like, lots of amazing guests. Really thought-provoking, inspiring.
You just want a butter tart, eh?
Ticking
You're
off.
Just sucking up because you want a butter tart.
Butter tarts.
Higher Ground is the name of the coffee place in Bell Fountain. Go there for the best butter tarts in the world.
They're taking me to a higher place, that's for sure.
Thanks, Homer. Larry Alex Taunton, he is the... Boy, I hope I'm pronouncing his name right. He's the author of The Faith of Christopher Hitchens, The Restless Soul of the World's Most Notorious Atheist. The website is Larry Alex Taunton, TAUNTON.com. Larry, am I even saying your last name right?
You nailed it, Drew.
Thank you. That's why I get paid nothing. Is this going to be one of those on his deathbed he came to Jesus books?
Absolutely not. His wife, Carol Blue, she says that there was no indication of a deathbed conversion, and I have no reason to doubt her. Lady Hope of Carradine, as she was known, made a very incredible claim 30 years after Darwin's death, claiming that he converted on his deathbed. And I don't make that kind of claim here in this book. Rather, I'm claiming that Christopher Hitchens, he wasn't everything that he appeared to be on the stage. Christopher was an atheist, undoubtedly. But Christopher was also a man who, in the closing chapter of his life, was contemplating conversion.
Who are you compared to Mr. Hitchens? You guys, debated each other, but how well did you really know each other?
Well, you know, that's a great question, Drew. I met Christopher in the last decade of his life, and at the Edinburgh International Festival in Scotland, the largest cultural festival in the world, where we were doing a debate. And, I expected Christopher to match the book. I mean, his book, God Is Not Great, is a rant. And I was sure that's what he would be like. And on stage, he was. But when you got him away from the cameras, the stage, he was very different. And Christopher and I got along very well. And after his diagnosis with esophageal cancer, which he knew to be a death sentence, Drew, the two of us took two lengthy road trips together. This was all kind of off the books. You know, people weren't really aware of this, but we drove from his home in D.C. to mine in Birmingham, Alabama, some 13, 14 hours. And along the way, we studied the Gospel of John. And then a month later, we did it again. We debated each other in Billings, Montana. And then the next day, we took a trip from Billings to West Yellowstone, and we drove through Yellowstone National Park.
You are a Christian apologist. Is that fair? Is that a good title to put on you?
Yeah, it works in the Christian subculture. To others, it sounds like I go around apologizing
right.
for the Crusades
exactly.
and the Salem witch trials. But yes, that's the term that is often used.
Okay, so you're the Jesus guy. He's the atheist. You guys have hung out
Correct.
Together. You traveled together. And all the Jesus people want to know, if you ever saw a glimmer of light, did you ever see a moment where he said, oh, maybe this is real. Maybe because if Jesus people are really compassionate and they want everybody to go to heaven, even Christopher Hitchens, and we love the stories about, well, on his deathbed, and, that's why I started off with that question. But was there any... were there any glimmering moments where you thought, oh, maybe he is really getting this?
Well, yes. I mean, Christopher and I had lengthy, interesting discussions about scripture and literature and God and politics and a great many things away from the stage. And listen, the two of us enjoyed each other's company. We had a lot in common. Both of us are descended from a military tradition. Both of us love thoughtful conversation, literature, and argument. But Christopher wasn't, if you're trying to unlock Christopher with the atheist key, the tumblers don't line up. I mean, he went on Bill Maher's show, Maher, who's who's a very well-known atheist. And Marr thought the two of them were going to be big buddies because they're both atheists. And Christopher mauled him and then said F you to the audience and gave them a middle finger flourish. I mean, how do you explain a guy like that? A guy who was became something of a neocon after 9/11, after the publication of God Is Not Great in 2007, began hanging out with evangelicals. He chose his position, a very celebrated Christian evangelical, a man by the name of Francis Collins, and was taking, again, privately, quietly, road trips with an evangelical like me. So, you know, Christopher was a showman on the stage, hurling all of the atheist rhetoric. But behind the scenes, Christopher was seriously contemplating a conversion. And why would he be doing that? Well, because he was staring into the abyss. He knew that the diagnosis of esophageal cancer was a death sentence. And so Christopher was exploring, you know, is there really something beyond this life? But at the same time, publicly, he wanted to maintain his persona as the hero of the atheist movement.
Okay, but there were many times where he chastised people for suggesting to him that, you know, the closer you get to death or this new death sentence that has been hurled upon him, it's going to have a big impact, and he's going to turn around and come to the Lord. He laughed in the face of that. So what I hear you saying is, that was a show. He was really thinking about his eternity.
Well, yes, in part, I am saying that. I mean, Christopher and I talked after the first time he made the statement. He went on Charlie Rose on PBS, and he said, if I convert, it means the cancer has gone to my brain. And shortly thereafter, I said, Christopher, what's up with that statement just made on Charlie Rose's show? He said, so you heard that? And I said, yeah, I did. And I said, here you are, a man who claims to be open to being persuaded by evidence, and then you go on and you close off all possibility of conversion. Christopher was a guy who, interestingly enough, Drew, at the end of his life, Christopher had become a kind of unlikely defender of the faith. And what I mean by that is that Christopher showed great respect for our friendship, deference for our friendship, for his friendship with Douglas Wilson, for his friendship with Francis Collins, while at the same time vigorously attacking guys like Al Sharpton and suddenly Jerry Falwell, people that he deemed to be
ignorant
fake,
buffoons,
fraud.
Right?
Well,
yeah. Well,
he thought they weren't for real, and so Christopher, when I asked him after our debate, you know, Christopher, you know, how do you prepare for the debate? What are your rules for debate? And this is when we're driving through Yellowstone. So you have to picture this. We're driving along, and he says, well, I have three rules for debate. One is know the other man and his position, why he holds that position, and then determine whether you want to destroy the man or the argument. And I said, well, Christopher, why didn't you try to destroy me? And he didn't hesitate. He said, well, because you believe it. So, you know, Christopher knew that I was pursuing his soul patiently, not so that I could put a scalp on my belt, not because I saw him as some prized convert, but because he had become a friend. I truly believe that there is a heaven and a hell, and I truly believe that those who reject Jesus Christ get the latter. And so compassion compelled me to pursue him, and he was determined that I would do it.
Well, again, folks, I want to let you know we are on the phone with Larry Alex Taunton. He is the author of The Faith of Christopher Hitchens, The Restless Soul of the World's Most Notorious Atheist. Let me just talk about your endorsements, because one of the gentlemen on there, I really enjoy our conversations. He's been on the show numerous times, Eric Metaxas. I took him to see the Blind Boys of Alabama when he was here one time. Larry, I want to know from you, what do you think Christopher Hitchens would say? How, in his endorsement, what would he say of this book? Would he say, well, first of all, I'm not giving you an endorsement because I don't want you talking about this stuff now that I'm dead, thank you very much. Or would he say, well done, bravo, good on you, mate?
I think he'd probably be somewhere in between. I mean, Christopher, Christopher, interestingly enough, we're sitting and doing an interview together on television about our friendship, this unlikely friendship. And the interviewer asked Christopher, what do you think of him, pointing at me, you know, this evangelical Christian Larry Taunton? And I braced, you know, because I knew, you know, the kind of remarks Christopher could make. And he said, Drew, and it moved me. He said, if the world had more people like Larry Taunton in it, people who value friendship and loyalty and care and concern for others, we would be living in a much better world than we do. And when that interview was over, we were walking away, and I said, Christopher, thank you so much for those kind remarks. And he said, well, I fought it for some time, but now it's on record, and no one can say that I didn't think it and I didn't say it. So there you go. And, you know, in other words, it was as if Christopher himself was mindful of the possibility that I might write about our relationship, and was thereby giving me a kind of endorsement or authority to do it in that comment.
Folks, we're on the phone with Larry Alex Taunton, and he is the author of The Faith of Christopher Hitchens, The Restless Soul of the World's Most Notorious Atheist. Now that he's gone, who are the top two atheists in the world today? And do they have capes and masks?
Sure. Well, outside of the dictator of North Korea, I suppose that would be a man I was just having coffee with in his home just a few weeks ago, and that's Richard Dawkins, the celebrated Oxford emeritus professor of evolutionary biology. You know, he's one of the so-called four horsemen, and I know Richard rather well, and a very thoughtful man, and you know, also a real formidable critic of the Christian faith. So I've had opportunity to engage with him quite a lot, and I suppose after him, it might be someone like Michael Shermer, who I've debated and know well, and who, by the way, has endorsed this book, or Daniel Dennett of Tufts University, who I debated on Al Jazeera last fall. In there, I suppose.
Hi, Larry, this is Tim. I'm the engineer on the show, and occasionally Drew lets me speak, mostly not because I'm a moron, but I'm wondering.
You're an idiot is the word, not
sorry,
moron.
I didn't want to say idiot. I didn't want to take myself down too much. Something I've learned over the years as I've hopefully matured a little bit in my faith is to be less threatened by people who disagree with me. And in fact, I've discovered that I learn a lot more. What kind of an impact did he have on you?
Oh, good question.
With regards to what you believe in and what people don't believe in.
I want to reshape your question, if you don't mind.
Please do. It is your
show. Step all over your question.
Because I'm an idiot.
Did he reshape your faith? Did Christopher Hitchens... No, let me do that again. Did Christopher Hitchens screw with your faith?
Well, to the first question, let me just say this, that I love argument. I prefer
no, you don't.
Going on secular. I know I do. I prefer going on secular radio shows. I write for The Atlantic, and I go on Al Jazeera, and I go on. I'm going on Chris Matthews' Hardball on Monday. I like that. Prefer to the softball Christian interview. So for me, it's invigorating. I mean, it's why I do what I do for a living.
Sure.
Secondly. Christopher, in no way, shape, or form did I find him challenging to my faith, at least on an intellectual level. I mean, by the time I had interacted with him, I'd interacted with many celebrated atheists. And I will tell you, the very first time I met Dawkins, who I met before I met Hitchens, I was prepared to be overwhelmed by intellect and argument. And what you discover, and I say this as a historian, is that the arguments aren't new. There's nothing new about the so-called new atheism other than its packaging, other than its marketing. Atheism is an ancient belief, and the arguments are the same. So I didn't find any of that particularly threatening. Now, I will tell you, that said, you know, somewhat what can be challenging in a relationship like this is navigating. 1 Peter 3:15 says, always be ready to give answer or a defense for the hope that is in you, but doing it with gentleness and respect. Very frequently I see Christians do one or the other. Either they're very respectful, and and gentle, and they compromise everything they believe. Or on the other hand, they just behave like a jerk, and it's all defense. For me, writing this book, as well as engaging with Christopher and others, and maintaining that balance between being respectful while at the same time not compromising any of the Christian faith, that's a tough line to walk, and I think that's what we're called to do.
Larry, what advice would you give to Ray Comfort and Kirk Cameron?
Oh, wow. I hardly know where to begin.
Just saying. Wanted to throw that out there.
Well, you know, I don't actually know a great deal about Kirk Cameron other than the TV show he was on in the 80s. Ray Comfort, I know some about, but my impression is this, at least, and listen, I'm sure very well-intentioned, but there are a number of so-called Christian apologists who do this. They oversimplify the arguments on the other side, and they make it seem like that there's nothing that these guys say that has any intellectual merit or credibility. You know, if that were true, then they wouldn't be making converts. They wouldn't be causing some people to lose their faith. I have always, Drew, I've always made it a habit of putting myself in front of people who believe the things I don't in order to test whether or not I believe what I believe because it's right or whether it's something I should abandon.
Yeah.
And so I don't just simply read books by Ray Comfort about the new atheist. I engage the new atheist, and that's a very different sort of thing. So I've been at many a conference where a so-called apologist is speaking, and it sets up, you know, a straw man argument and whips up the Christian audience into a frenzy, and then, you know, knocks it down. And I'm thinking to myself, I know that guy, and he would annihilate you in debate.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think this is important as Christians that we're, you know, that we're not just simply reading all the Christian literature and what it says about the other side, but we're actually engaging the other side.
You know, you mentioned Francis Collins a few times and the fact that Christopher Hitchens, I think you were saying that they were friends and he respected Francis Collins. True?
Yes. And here's an interesting, this is part of the transformation in Christopher that I was talking about. The very first time I met Christopher, and you can find this on our website, LarryAlexTaunton, TAUNTON.com. The very first time I met him, I did an interview with him, and Collins came up, and he ridiculed Collins' faith. He ridiculed Collins as a bit of a simpleton. And yet, years later, after his diagnosis with esophageal cancer, when he's dying, he wanted Collins to be his personal physician, and he called Collins one of the greatest living Americans. Now notice this huge change in Christopher between the time when he thinks he's going to live, you know, many, many more years, and when he's looking eternity in the face. There was a transformation.
Oh man, I keep getting hung up on the same issue, and I really would like a third party, you know, a neutral third party, or maybe not a neutral party, but somebody on Christopher Hitchens' team. And maybe you talked about this earlier, and I don't know, I'm too stupid and I missed it. But that is going to confirm what you're saying. Because, again, I keep hearing you saying, once Christopher Hitchens faced the reality of his death, his mortality, he knew he was going to die, that he lightened up, and he wasn't the jerk he used to be, and he let a little light in. But I would expect you to say that because you're writing a book about this, and that's the hook of the book. But I want a neutral outsider.
You know, if I were making the hook of the book, would be that at the end I have a cheap conversion and I make a claim that I have no evidence for. The claims that I make here in this book, Drew, and I'll take it you haven't read the book yet.
No, I haven't.
Well, that's important because the claims that I make here, I think I can demonstrate. First of all, our road trips together. Christopher talked about that on television. We have evidence for that. Christopher saying the things that he said about our friendship, he said that on television. Christopher talking about how he didn't mind people praying for him. Christopher wrote articles and said that in filmed interviews. Our exchanges, both on stage and off stage, they're easily demonstrated. And the fact that, listen, after 9/11, something changed in Christopher. This is all public, what I'm telling you. After 9/11, Christopher's life between 1949, when he was born, and 2001, September 11th, 2001, his life was very predictable. You name the leftist cause, he was there. After 9/11, however, Christopher became something of a neocon. He kind of doubled back, and he lost a lot of friends for this. Many friends on the left hated him for it, vilified him for it. But he said, you know, I can no longer take the leftist view that America deserves 9/11 and that it is responsible for all the evil in the world. That narrative doesn't hold. Then, after the publication of God Is Not Great, How Religion Poisons Everything, Christopher began engaging evangelicals. And it was the first time in his life that he had engaged them. And what he discovered is that he likes them. I mean, he made a film with Douglas Wilson called Collision. It's clear they liked each other. And, you know, he began hanging out with him. This is public that he did this. What he did with Francis Collins, his relationship with me, and his tense relationship with his Christian brother, Peter, a well-known journalist in the UK. So these are all things that are easily documented.
We've had Peter on the show before. I quite enjoyed that. So ultimately, you are, again, I just want our listeners to be hooked enough to go out and get this book. Are you saying that we might very well see Christopher Hitchens, the prominent atheist, in heaven, if I even make it?
Well, I will say this. I think that's unlikely. That said, we never know what prayers an individual sends up at the end of their life. And, you know, as Peter chastised me, you know, thinking that I had said to him that Christopher Hitchens, you know, did not believe, he said, Larry, there's no way you can know that. There's no way anyone can know that.
Yep.
And he's right about that.
Yeah, no, I'm glad you answered that way because that really is the answer. And so finally, Dawkins, what has he said to you about this book?
You know, Dawkins hasn't read the book. Actually, I was visiting with him about something altogether different. We have Richard Dawkins coming this year to an apologetics camp for a bunch of kids, which he is really surprised by. This is something we do in Europe every year. And I've invited Richard. There's no monetary exchange. I've just invited him to come and pound on these kids. And he's shocked that I'm having him do this. And I say, well, Richard, I don't see why not. I mean, sooner or later, they've got to be exposed to these arguments. Why don't you come and tell them that Christianity is a lot of nonsense? And and let's see how that goes. So Richard and I were talking about that. We've had a lot of interaction with one another over the years. I like Richard. I don't agree with him, but I like him. And who knows what's going on in his heart and his mind.
Well, Christopher Hitchens has won me over simply by the way he treated Bill Maher. That worked quite well for me. Larry Alex Taunton, the book is The Faith of Christopher Hitchens, The Restless Soul of the World's Most Notorious Atheist. I haven't read it for multiple reasons. One, I had five authors on today. And
you just got it.
And I'm not going to read five books in the week. Two, I have a learning disability. And three, I find actually the interviews more interesting when I haven't read the book. Because if you can convince me to read it in an interview, then you've done your job. And you've done your job. Thank you. This has been intriguing.
Well, thank you, Drew. Drew, if I may say this very quickly, you know, this book has received wonderful reviews from Booklist, which is secular. Michael Shermer, who was an atheist, Ravi Zacharias, Eric Metaxas, at Booklist gave it a starred review and called it lively and loving. That meant a lot to me because I've endeavored in this book to show respect for the relationship while at the same time revealing to readers a little bit about this very complex man who kept, by his own words, he kept what he called two books. And that's a reference to a kind of double bookkeeping. You've got the public books, and then you have the kind of the public fraudulent books, and then you have the real accounts which you keep under the table. And Christopher's private books were very different.
Larry, thank you for your time.
Thanks for having me, Drew. You take care.
Bye-bye.
Emancipate yourselves from mental.
Everyone knows that little girls need daddy's love, but who's strongly promoting the truth that little boys need mom's respect? Just as Dr. Emerson Eggerichs transformed millions of marriages with a biblical understanding of love and respect, he now turns these principles to one of the most important relationships of all, a mother and her son. Find practical tips and life-changing stories of the transformative effect of respect in the relationships with our children in Mother and Son, The Respect Effect by Dr. Emerson Eggerichs. Available where books are sold.